Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome, episode 61 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. You know what that means? We're only 8 away from 69.
Uh-oh. Yeah, right.
You know, that'll be our best episode
and
ever.
And 7 away from 68, which is, you know, you do me and I owe you one.
All right.
Girls hear that one all the time.
This is Mark. Yeah. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
Frank T. Biscuit.
And this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. Found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Where you can find all our social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. I changed to Twitter. We're now finally officially at Trust Me, I'm a Jedi on Twitter.
That
instead
makes
of that TMIAJ. I never knew you could change it, and I discovered that you can change it on Twitter.
So now you just dragged it out longer?
Yeah, but it's easier to remember that since everything's under Trust Me, I'm a Jedi.
That's I need more to I'm going to have to like type in.
Not really. You just because Twitter finds it for you. So, no. And then... also on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, you can find our new Star Wars podcast, Remnants of the Rebellion. We launched episode 2 this week that features myself and Matt. And so listen to that. We're excited about that show, and we thanks for the start off so far, the support that has been given for anyone that listened to it. Because that's really the only support we got is people. We had some people listen to it.
Yeah.
But we always encourage interaction on our shows. We encourage people to leave comments on our Facebook or on Twitter.
Questions. You
questions.
Want us to compare superheroes or Jedis. Who's going to win in a lightsaber fight?
I was thinking about making a fake account and just like troll you guys with the questions.
We would know.
So we're a few weeks away from Christmas, so we're going to talk some holiday stuff today. We're also going to talk, we've got some new trailers to talk about since last time we met. And I want to start the show briefly talking, this week was the 40th anniversary that Rocky was released in theaters. And we talked about earlier in the year when Creed came out, a little bit about Rocky. And was Creed out this year or last year? I don't remember. I just remember earlier in the year. I think it came out in video earlier this year. We all watched it on video.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it.
And, now available on Amazon.
I kind of promised more coverage of Rocky on the site this year, but I just didn't get around to it.
Yeah, we talked about doing a whole episode, and, but, you know, we can...
Yeah, things happened in our lives that kept us from getting to that point.
We took one too many hits to the head.
But briefly, Rocky as a saga is maybe not... genre-related in the things we talk about, science fiction and comic movies on Trust Me, I'm a Jedi, but Rocky is still one of those franchises that's important to movies because it's transcended those genres where it relates to everybody, whether you're into comics or sci-fi or westerns or romantic films. Most people like the Rocky films because they appeal to the everyman, because Rocky was an everyman that was down on his luck and going nowhere, and he suddenly becomes a heavyweight champion in the second Rocky film after being the underdog in the first one and losing to Apollo Creed, but still earning a lot of respect. And the Rocky saga still holds up years later. We're still getting movies made. We got the spinoff Creed last year, which was really well done. And how do y'all feel about Rocky and the tandem of cinema?
Well, I like Rocky because it's about heart and never giving up. It's keep fighting for what you believe and to reach the top of where you're at and stuff.
And it gave us Eye of the Tiger, which we know Frank likes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Love that
song. Survivor, Roy? Right?
So, from a younger fan's perspective, when did you discover Rocky and how do you feel about it?
Rocky, I actually discovered Rocky watching a Brisk commercial one time when I was younger.
A what?
A Brisk commercial.
That's Brisk, baby.
You know? I remember Stallone used to those commercials.
As Stallone's in the ring, he's fighting. He's like, you need to get back in there, Rocky.
It was around the time I think Rocky V came out. He was doing some tea commercials
And so he goes in the corner. They give him, he's like, what's that? And they give him a Brisk. He's like, that's Brisk, baby. He comes in there and he just knocks the guy out. And I was like, oh, my dad's like, that's Rocky. And so, you know, 14, 15, you know, stuff comes over, you know, on AMC and they replay some old stuff and Rocky was on there and it's a great story. It's an underdog story and people love underdog stories. I know us three, you know, are a fan of underdogs and it's grown into something awesome, you know, and I like where it's going with the Creed.
I've recently revisited the Rocky films. I picked them up on Blu-ray a while back and sat down and watched them, and they amazingly hold up really well. It's funny, the one that I feel doesn't hold up the best is 4, which a lot of people like 4, where he fights Dolph Lundgren.
I like 4.
A lot of people consider it their favorite, but Really,
not like three.
You go
my
back
favorite.
And watch four, yeah. And four isn't. It's just a long training film. It's like at the beginning, he kills Apollo, and he's like, "I will crush you," and then Rocky trains for an hour and a half, and then he fights the Russian. That's it. Like, there's really nothing to the film compared to the other ones, other than the death of Apollo. In some ways, you talk about Rocky having heart.
I think
Rocky,
three and four were the most emotional ones.
I don't know about that. I think four loses the heart because it's all about, it becomes this Cold War film. It was trying to say something about our ties with the Russians at the time.
And he's like, if I could change, then you could change.
Yeah.
And we can all change.
It really loses some of that because it's so training.
I did like the matchup, though.
Three, amazingly, we're kind of going backwards here.
Yeah.
Three, amazingly, at the time it came out, was really kind of goofy, you know, with Mr. T and Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
You go back and watch it, and it holds up really well, but it's kind of the pointless one out of the seven movies. It's kind of like, why? Did he really need to defend his title against...
And he has a statue made of him.
Yeah, another tough guy. It's almost like it was the sequel that was made to make money.
I don't look at it like that. I look at it, it was to more tie the bond between Apollo and Rocky.
Somewhat.
They start off as enemies.
Retraining
them. They become mutual, like, combatants.
That part of it, yes.
And you could see that there. And then they form a friendship in Rocky III.
I mean, my personal favorites are one and two. I like the whole buildup of one to him winning or not winning, but getting the respect against Apollo. Then in two, he convinces Apollo to give him a rematch, even though Apollo's like, what do I need to prove myself against this fool, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, but Apollo gives him the rematch because he thinks he gets cocky and is like, oh, I'll beat him again.
Nah,
no problem.
He was getting disrespected, you know, by the media.
And the media starts disrespecting too. So and then, of course, Rocky wins it, and all the world's all good, and he wins the title.
But I see, that's what I think why 3 is important, is because at the end of 3, Apollo finally respected Rocky for the heart that he had. And then in Rocky III, Apollo actually makes Rocky a better fighter. Yeah. Rocky was just basically swing, hold in there, stick it in there, and survive to win it. Whereas Apollo trained him to actually win a fight, not to just survive a fight. And that's all Rocky was doing in 1 and 2, were surviving fights.
Well, no.
Apollo taught
hungry.
Him to.
And he was hungry.
Right, but Apollo taught him how to win a fight, not to just survive a fight.
He reminded him what he lost. Remember, he says, you know, you trade your passions for glory. That's what this is about. This is about dissecting the Survivor song, Eye of the Tiger. He's like, you had the Eye of the Tiger. You were hungry. He's like, and now you've made it to the top. You lose your passion for glory.
You got
to
get it back.
And
to me, the best ending was at the ending of that movie where they climb in the ring.
Yeah.
And he just goes ding, ding. And it just shows them both swinging at each other. Mm-hmm. And it just ends. And it kind of goes to that painting style and kicks into the music. That's like one of the best endings in all the films.
Then a few years later, after 4 came out in 1990, I think it was, we got 5, which... Not a huge fan of that one. It just felt like that definitely was a money grab. Okay, the first four are successful. People want more Rocky. Let's bring him back a little bit aged. And I don't have a lot to say about 5.
I think it tied in with what was going on in boxing. You had Don King, who was a big promoter at the time, so they did a character kind of based on him, but a little bit more cocky, a little bit more of a jerk in a sense. You had a... basically a fighter who winded up getting wrapped up in his own hype because of him. And that's what, like, a lot of people felt sometimes Don King did with his boxers. He built a lot of hype on them, and they got wrapped up in their own hype. And then once they got in the ring, they usually got knocked out, other than, like, you know, there was only a few fighters that could hold up to their hype.
Yep.
You know, not all of them were Mike Tyson's.
And then they got Tommy Gunn all heated up because... They're like, oh, you know, you haven't fought anyone real yet. You haven't had any real competition.
Right.
Like, and they're like, you haven't fought Rocky Balboa, you know, until you beat Balboa. And then that's whenever he's like, I'm going to put you through the street.
Yeah, he's like, I kind of like the street fight. And I think what gets lost in it.
And then the flashbacks where Mickey's like, he's like, come on, kid.
Yeah, but I think the
whole relationship. I think that's the weirdest part of 5. It's like when Mickey dies in, was it 2?
3
they dies.
Mm-hmm.
That was the end of that story. So the Mickey flashbacks feel kind of in 5 almost feel like weird. There's no, you know,
because it didn't happen in 4.
Yeah,
But it's see, like if, remember,
if
but
he
wasn't supposed to.
Mickey, it's not even remembered him for always trying to fight this Russian.
Yeah, yeah, but he also remember he suffered a lot of brain damage at the end of the fight with the Russian. That's why he wasn't supposed to fight anymore.
Well, there, I'm glad you mentioned that. There's
I wanted to bring up something. Another thing that was missed by a lot of people in that movie mm-hmm. was the story between him and his son.
Oh yeah,
wait, that part of it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people overlook that.
Which they, it's funny that actually what you said ties together. Then several years later, we get Rocky VI or Rocky Balboa, as it's called, mm-hmm. and his son is older, and they continue the relationship with him. But yet they're not. I don't want to say they're estranged because they still talk, but yet they're not.
It's not a strong. Yeah. It's not a strong relationship.
And then they completely forget the brain damage storyline. It's not even mentioned in Rocky Balboa. It's not even mentioned in Creed, mm-hmm. and it's because there was controversy around that. I remember reading an article something about how boxing and things, and now we see it in the NFL with concussions, we're trying to deny the whole brain damage happening thing. Mm-hmm. So Rocky kind of drops it in Rocky Balboa, and they don't even mention it because they didn't want any controversy about this in the sport and for the Boxing Association to support the film and all that. And that's actually true. They just sort of dropped the whole brain damage story from Rocky V. And six, of course, is the whole video game one where they're very similar to the Tommy Morrison. Oh, you're nobody till you beat Rocky. The video game says that Rocky could beat him. He's like, you're nobody till you beat Rocky. Mm-hmm. So they stage this charity fight, and Rocky fights him. And I actually like Rocky Balboa for the most part. It's a decent sequel. It's
to me, it wasn't
lines,
even really about the fighting. It was more about the storyline.
As far as my level of Rocky films, but it went back to a similar motif that 1 and 2 had, where it was more about Rocky and
his character. His wife had now passed away.
Yeah.
He was trying to build a relationship with his son.
And then,
of course, the quote that he gets from talking to his son. He's like, you know, when you were born, he's like, I could fit you in the palm of my hand, and everything you did was awesome. It was a blessing. He's like, but somewhere around the line, he's like, you lost yourself. He's like, you started blaming other people for your own actions. He's like, and he's like, talking about how to be a man and you know how to be a winner. He's like putting the blame on other people. Cowards do that, and you're not a coward. And he's like, that ain't you. And that was a cool little thing because it's like I remember, you know, I know football's on right now, but it's like they did like it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. It's how much you can take and keep moving forward. They mixed like a Brett Favre Vikings video into that, and I thought that was cool. But it's a really cool quote, him talking to his son like that. It's really cool, and it is an in depth to his character, and it kind of elaborates on who Rocky is and his motif and his mindset. And I think it comes from that toughness that Mickey, you know, hammered
instilled into him.
Because he was kind of a stray in number one and two. Number two, he almost didn't want to fight Creed because his wife, you know, is pregnant. She's working because, you know, he hadn't fought. And he spent all this money that he got from fighting Apollo the first time.
Right.
And you know, he's like, Rocky, I know you're going through something hard, but you've got to do this. You got to, you know, fights in 2 weeks. What are you going to do?
Yeah. But Rocky Balboa came together nicely. Then we moved to last year. We have a current, I don't want to call it a reboot of Rocky, but a tie-in sequel years later. And if we get more, we get more. Stallone has kind of commented he thinks he's done. So I don't know if we'll get more Creed, but Stallone has been done before. Then when money calls, Stallone comes back, just like with Rambo and other films. Let's just face it, these are actors. You'll pay me $4 million to go make another Creed movie? Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know? But I really enjoyed Creed. I was surprising. When I first heard about the idea, I was really down against it. But then it came out, and I watched it, and I really liked how it played out. And I read somewhere that when Stallone read the script, there were things he didn't like about it that he said, well, it needs to be more. I know it's about Apollo's son, but there needs to be some stuff in the Rocky in this to close it out. And I've read that the scene where he visits Adrian's grave was all Stallone. He wrote that in, and he said, you have to have this because she was his rock, you know, and it completes Rocky's story. Because if the movie's been out long enough that there's no reason to say spoilers here because everyone's probably seen it. But the fact that he's diagnosed with cancer, and if it is the last time we saw him, that was kind of him knowing that he could be on his way to see her soon, you know, yeah. And that was an important scene in Creed.
Well, if they continue on any form of the franchise, I think they need to start it off and just call it Apollo and start the movie off with the passing of Rocky and just pass the torch on with this last one. Well, and let it go.
We don't need more Rocky in it. And actually, the original title of Creed was Apollo, and then they changed it to Creed. Not sure why. I don't know. But that was the original title. It was going to be like Apollo. Then I think they even toyed with calling it Apollo Creed at one time, you know. You know, it would have made sense to call it Apollo. But no, his son's name. His Adonis. Yeah.
Last name is Creed, so it wasn't Apollo. It was Apollo Creed, so it wouldn't be Apollo.
Bring back Carl Weathers and he really didn't die? He just wanted to get away from his wife so he'd be with his side chick again. You know, the mother of this, what was it? I don't want to say bastard, but...
Yeah, that's the term.
This love child. and then he comes back and he's really like, yeah, I've been working at a golf range. I lost my hand. My name's Chubbs. I go by Chubbs now. Happy Gilmore? Frank?
Really?
Yeah, no. We were having a serious conversation and you just had to go somewhere else.
Only
Does that mean we're wrapping this up with...
but Rocky 40 years is impressive for any film franchise, and it's been a good saga. I think many years to come, people will be revisiting Rocky, and children, new generations will discover it, because ultimately it is a story about heart and going for it and living for the moment in a lot of ways and not giving up for what you want. And Stallone, for all his dumb action films he did, he gave us this gift of these films that are really well done and to be enjoyed. And he's great in them.
Funny is that, like, here he is so great in the Rocky movies, but then you see his other movies and it's like, he's the same guy.
Because
you
know, he wrote the script. Other than
Copland, he was really good in Copland. I'll give him that. That's one of his other great acting performances. Stallone was one of those guys that people forget, though. Unlike Arnold and Van Damme and some of those other guys, Stallone actually was a trained actor. He did go to school. He wasn't just like a muscle guy that got lucky. Mm-hmm. And people forget that about him. You know, he wasn't Arnold. Arnold never had any acting ability.
No. He just fit in with the Terminator because he was cold. He's so cold looking.
He didn't even get his first start. He got it as what?
Hercules in New York? Oh, my God. Because
of his muscles.
and I had to show Jackie the bear fight scene in Hercules in New York.
That as bad as the Incredible Hulk and bear fight?
Oh, yes. It was worse. This thing, I mean, you can tell it is not a... And then Hercules, he's like, this guy, he's not Hercules. I'm Hercules. And he takes off his shirt and he's like, hooah. And he just starts flexing, and the girl's like, oh no, put on your shirt. Your shirt's off, and you're all glisteny.
And Mark and Matt keep rewinding it and rewatching
Stallone did some good stuff other than Rocky. I mean, I enjoyed Demolition Man for what it was.
I liked Cliffhanger. I really did like Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger was decent. The original Judge Dredd, I am the law. You know, it wasn't that bad, you know. And I didn't realize that was rated R. I was going to watch it on Netflix, but then Mikey was in the room, and I'm like, oh, it's rated R. For some reason, I thought that Judge Dredd was PG-13. I don't know. I guess not.
You think it's because of the cannibals?
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Is there boobs in it?
I can't remember. It's one of those I think I only watched a couple of times.
That's a cool concept, though. You know, boobs you have Judd
in a movie?
Yeah, boobs in a movie.
Before we move to the next topics, better Stallone franchise, Rocky or Rambo?
Rocky.
I think Rocky easily. Yeah. Yeah, Rambo...
The idea?
Problem with Rambo is it worked as a couple of films, but then it kept going and going, and should have just left alone. But Rambo did have an animated series, even though it only lasted a few episodes. Mm-hmm. Rocky couldn't do it. Well, was it, for some reason, I want to say there was an animated series that had Rocky in it, but it was like a bunch of like random guys. Wasn't there a Hanna-Barbera show?
Could have been.
Random characters in it. I'll have to look that up.
I will look that up
on the next episode. Okay. So, Rocky 40th anniversary, salute there. Trailers. We're going to go into some trailers before we talk about our Christmas stuff we got going. Last night, it might be Tuesday, Wednesday before y'all hear this, but we're recording on Sunday. So, Saturday night, we got the brand new trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy. And we had the sneak peek last month, which actually strangely aired in theaters, even though I thought it was going to be internet sneak peek. When I saw Doctor Strange show, they showed that Guardians teaser in front of it. Mm-hmm. But yesterday we got the real first teaser. And it's very good.
Yeah,
so yeah.
It was funny.
I wasn't a huge fan of the little sneak peek. I was just like, oh, this is like more of the same.
Yeah.
But this trailer was like really cool. We got, I can't remember the song off the top of my head in it, but it, I guess that's a sneak peek at Awesome Mix Volume 2.
Yes.
Funny, as Frank said, it looks like Baby Groot's going to steal the show already.
Yes.
I am Groot.
Rocket. And man, it just, it's a tribute to looks like 2017 is going to be incredible with Logan and Guardians Thor and Star Wars Episode 8, just Spider-Man Homecoming, everything that's coming. 2017 could be one of the biggest comic book, sci-fi films, movies, years ever. And Guardians just
added it.
Bam, came out with this really great first trailer. And we got to look at Mantis at the end of the trailer and the really hilarious scene where she says, I can feel your love for Gamora, embarrassing Star-Lord.
He's like, yes, yeah, yes, go ahead,
talk.
Love.
I'm over here talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's love. He's like, no, it's a sexual love. No, it is not like that. And he just told your deepest, darkest secrets.
And then he's like, now do me.
You must be so embarrassed right now.
That was really funny.
That was funny, but I like that part at the end where he's just like, do me.
I love, looks like Drax has a bit more of a comedic role in this film, like a little bit more of his.
But you would think somebody who had a nuclear, like, thermal bomb of some kind would have some duct tape.
Yes, yeah.
But, in a tribute to Dave Bautista, man, who, when he got the role for Guardians 4 years ago or whatever, he went and took like a 7-week acting course because he's like, man, I'm in a movie with Chris Pratt and Michael Rooker. He goes, I don't want to suck. And I've read since he did that and he filmed James Bond, he did Spectre, that he's continued to take acting courses because he doesn't want to just be like a wrestler that got lucky. He wants to really try hard to do well in his films.
I actually read an article that that he gave an interview, and apparently according to this interview that he said that his previous employers that he was actually kind of like friends and close to during that time, when he came to promote the movie, the first Guardians and everything, they actually laughed at him and thought he was a joke.
Really?
And that's probably why you'll never see him with his, you know, previous employers again. So don't expect a reappearance from him to advertise this next movie.
Because let's face it, I mean, The Rock, for who he is, his charisma,
which is the highest paid actor this year.
His charisma takes him a long way. But he's basically Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's the same guy in every movie.
Yeah.
Rock is, I'm not saying Bautista's ever going to win an award, but Rock will never win an Oscar. Where Dave Bautista seems like he's smarter about his roles. He's not just taking action films to do action films.
Who cares if they win an award?
No, I don't care either. I'm just making a point that I think Bautista could end up having, if we're comparing wrestlers, could have a better career because seems like he's making better choices. Like, The Rock seems to just take movies to make money. Like, Central Intelligence that came out this summer. What was that?
Actually, that was actually pretty funny.
I'm just saying.
I saw it. It was pretty funny.
But I'm just saying, he just seems to take roles to make money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was a funny movie. And come on. It has, you know, another one of the highest paid comedians. The highest paid comedian out there.
But you think midget porn's funny, so that doesn't say much.
No, I don't think it's funny. I think it's enjoyable.
That's even worse. You're not helping your cause here.
Okay.
You're not helping your cause here.
I'm dying over here.
Okay,
they're usually short films.
Let's move on to the next trailers. These are video game trailers we got.
Spider-Man. Sorry, I'm jumping this one. I saw the Spider-Man trailer.
There hasn't been a trailer out for that yet.
The new Spider-Man movie?
No.
That's been, yes.
For Spider-Man it's Homecoming?
You were talking video games, right?
There's not a full trailer out for that. There's a teaser.
But no, I like the concept behind it. It looks really good. First Spider-Man that I'm actually thinking about getting.
Okay, but you throw me off here. I know there's no trailer out for it. They announced that game back at E3, though.
Right, but some of the scenes they showed for it were pretty cool.
Well, they showed scenes in that commercial. It's been airing on TV. That's about it. But anyway.
Go ahead.
We got Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite announced.
Oh, yes.
Which is basically Marvel vs. Capcom 4. And they didn't show much because we basically got a short trailer. It had Mega Man 10, or X, as you call him, Ryu, Iron Man, and Captain Marvel. The female Captain Marvel, of course. So it doesn't show much, but, you know, it's kind of funny that DC and Midway announced Injustice 2 earlier this year. Is it Midway makes Injustice? I can't remember. But they announced, I think so. They announced it earlier this year. And Marvel had, for the longest time, said Marvel Capcom was done because of different rights of Disney owning the characters now, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess they worked it out with Capcom because it's like, all of a sudden, oh, they're making Injustice 2. We better have a new game. So I guess that worked out somewhere along the line. And they announced Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Not much to say about it. I'm sure it'll be fun. Because
it was all animated scenes and not actual gameplay?
No, it was a gameplay trailer they showed.
I didn't see any gameplay. Yeah. I just saw animated cutscenes.
No, that was the teaser. There's a gameplay trailer that's out, too. They put it out later.
Maybe I didn't see that one.
You know, we'll see. I mean, I just hope they add, like, I want a fighting game like that has, like, don't be skimpy with the characters and make me buy DLC.
Oh, no, they're going to DLC the crap out of it.
I want like 80 characters when I buy the game.
No, you're getting 20, and then everything else is DLC. But
even with DLC, there's enough characters in the Marvel and Capcom universe. You could put a game out with 40 or 50 characters and still have plenty of DLC.
It doesn't matter. You're getting maybe 20 characters if you're lucky, 10 from each side.
And that's why you don't buy fighting games when they come out. You'll always wait a year later, and then they'll release the Ultimate
Edition.
For 20
bucks with all the characters.
And then the other trailer that came out yesterday, which I'm super excited for, was the trailer for The Last of Us 2.
Yes, I have not seen that one yet.
The Last of Us is one of my favorite games I've ever played. Probably is my favorite game.
The reason why we got a PS4?
Right, well, PS3 initially.
No, I'm talking about the reason why we got the PS4 instead of the Xbox One is because of...
Along with Red Dead Redemption, which they announced part two coming out next year.
Which looks great.
The Last of Us 2, it's a very short trailer. Well, it's not short. It's about 3 minutes, but you see a grown-up Ellie, a few years older, so it looks like there's a time jump in this. She's sitting there playing a guitar and singing a very kind of morbid song as Joel walks through the hallways, and there's several dead bodies in the hallways, and it looks like humans, not just the diseased from the first game. And
the
Joel,
clickers.
And Joel walks in there and he goes, "How's it going, kiddo?" And she just looks at him and he goes, "Are you really going to go through with this?" And then it's revealed that it's, even though you kind of knew it's Ellie, it's revealed that it's her. And she's like, "Yes, I'm going to kill every last one of them." So it just leaves you hanging. Like, what is she talking about? And the fact that there's people in these buildings instead of clickers makes you wonder, are we going to get the human element of what's going on in this world in this part?
Right. So obviously they haven't made it to, what was it, the West Coast yet, where she's the cure, apparently?
We had a little bit of the human element because there were some parts where they had to fight humans in the first one.
Right.
But maybe we're going to get more of that. And just a fantastic game. So The Last of Us Part 2 was officially announced yesterday. Even though everyone kind of knew Naughty Dog was working on it, it's like the best unkept secret out there.
Right. And, I mean, come on. Right now, Naughty Dog has some of the best titles out there.
Yeah. A great, great gaming company. And Matt's interesting. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Matt, you're not a huge gamer. That's okay.
Yeah, I retro game.
Yeah. You know, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. So,
you know, whenever I think if Matt had the consoles and had the time, like if he bought a PlayStation 4 and got a hold of the Uncharted series and
Battlefront. If I got a hold of Battlefront,
those games are fine, first person shooters, but story wise, they ain't there.
Resident Evil. I did like Resident
but
Evil.
My thing is Battlefront, the Call of Duties, all of these, they've gotten so far away from good storylines because they're relying strictly on the multiplayer aspect. That's where all their DLC is, that's where all their money making is. They put very little effort. The last time I've played any first-person shooters, and the reason why I've gotten away from them is because they put nothing into the storyline.
Rumor is that DICE and EA realized their mistake on Battlefront, and they're promising a campaign in Battlefront 2.
Oh, wow.
So I hope that's true. I mean, I think it is true. If they're saying they're going to do one, they're going to do one.
The good thing about my system, though, is like if I put it away for like a couple years and turn it back on, there's no updates.
Really?
Hey, you know what else is good? If I unplug my console from the internet, there's no updates either.
Did you just make a penis motion?
I love retro gaming, but I'm enjoying the new. My PS4 has revitalized my interest in gaming.
Mine too.
I had lost for a while. I played my Xbox 360, but I wasn't like hardcore.
Oh man, I tried playing. They gave away the Resident Evil first one a couple of months back, like month before last. On the PlayStation 4 for one of the downloads. Man, I couldn't...
converted graphics and stuff?
Yeah, with the updated graphics for the original one. And
that's awesome.
I could not stand the static camera angles. It was driving me bonkers.
Really? Like from the up angles and
the fact that you couldn't rotate it to when you went around the corner.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and just... Oh, it
that's
was
Resident
annoying.
Evil gameplay.
Yeah,
even in 2 and 3.
You know, so yeah, those, I don't miss the gameplay of those games at all.
You know, so those new trailers, I don't have the last, as I'm recording this, I didn't put the Last of Us trailer up yet, but it will be up by the time this episode hits. So looking forward to that in 2017. I normally don't spend $60 on games, but next year I might have to come with $120 because I think I have to have Red Dead Redemption 2 and The Last of Us 2 the day they come out. I mean, it's just like, I almost think I have to get those, you know?
I can hold off on Red Dead Redemption, but definitely getting The Last of Us.
Yeah. 2. Well, and the thing about
I'm just mad that they didn't have Uncharted 4 on sale this year.
Too bad. So sad.
Oh, shut up. You're getting it for $20. I'm going to laugh at the guy reneges on you. And I'll be like, ha ha. No, not really, because that would suck.
So, it's Christmas time here. We're in December. Christmas across the world. And growing up, you and I, Matt, have kids, and Frank's got cousins.
Wives.
And things like that. So, you know, they're going to get some things from Santa Claus, and that will excite them. Growing up, did you guys have favorite toys that you couldn't wait to get that you were hoping Santa Claus could bring you? Like, something that stands out you remember?
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
But something specific.
There was always a Nerf gun that my parents wouldn't buy me, or BB guns, you know?
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah. Eventually I was able to get more Nerf guns. I just, you know, was denied BB guns.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I was older. Yeah. Yeah. Shoot your eye out, kid. But I really not a Red Ryder BB gun, but just the airsoft guns that became popular whenever I was, you know, growing up, and I finally got one. It was a Desert Eagle one. And, I grew up in a house that was built in the '80s. So, you know, I shot one of the windows and it actually left a little crack in there. And so I did have a kind of a Christmas Story moment a little bit. Something bad happened when I took it out for a test run. I'm like, oh, these are just bouncing off the window. Bing! And Frank, then crack.
Was one thing that you remember getting that was like, you couldn't wait to get?
Honestly, I can't think of the one thing that I would like put down and was anticipating. My parents knew what line of toys I liked. And most of the time I spoiled my own Christmases because I was just like, here's what I want, period. Don't give me something I don't want, please.
You're not answering the fucking question.
Okay, the only thing I really wanted, I owned for literally 3 hours, was the...
we don't need the sobs for
you. Yeah, but was the hours. Death Star.
The Death Star.
The cardboard one that, like, stood up?
No, the plastic one.
Well, yeah, it had cardboard pieces that stood up like that.
Yeah,
like,
and it had Luke and Leia could swing across and everything, and it had the little... Yeah, I owned it for a whole 3 hours. But it was exciting when it got put together.
Yes, I think people that listen to Rebel Radio on a regular basis through our 60 episodes have heard the house burnt down on Christmas story, so we're skipping that one again.
Sorry if it's a sore subject this time of the year for me.
And
everything gets unplugged and turned off
on Christmas
Day. For me,
you know, it's funny. I had a lot of Star Wars stuff, but I can't pinpoint a Star Wars thing I wanted for Christmas other than, like, I've mentioned Rebel Radio before, the green lightsaber I wanted. But I remember really wanting Optimus Prime. And I remember one Christmas I finally got it. The original generation one Optimus Prime.
Oh, the cool one.
And I think that's the one thing that stands out for me getting, other than the Christmas my parents got us, the Super Nintendo. I remember that, too. And video game systems are something that even nowadays parents buy video game systems for all the kids. Because they're expensive. And I remember that. Of course, then again, our generation don't really get video game systems for Christmas because us dads are playing them.
Yep.
So we already own them, so they don't get the system.
They just get a game they want for it.
Our parents didn't play them. Yeah, they just get a game. You're right. That's probably it. Super Nintendo, I remember really wanting it, you know, and then Optimus Prime. You know, those are my two things. So that brings us to our next holiday talk. We get together for the holidays. We spend time with our friends and family, you know. But if there were like two or three fictional characters you could spend the holidays with, who would they be? You know, I mean, who would you want to spend the holidays with? I'll start.
Okay.
I decided on, I kind of did mine differently. I took the holidays and I picked one for each of the holidays here at the end of the year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And I decided that for Thanksgiving, I would want to hang out with Wolverine because he can cut the turkey. And he just seems like he'd be cool to watch football with on Thanksgiving.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
a Canadian watching football.
That's right.
Celebrating American Thanksgiving.
That's right. Well, he probably
awesome
lives
pick,
in America.
Dude. Awesome
no, that
pick.
Was a good pick. I mean, he'd just be like,
oh, it gets better. Just wait till I hear my
name. No, just a Canadian.
And for Christmas, this was the harder one to pick. I thought about picking Batman, because if you can't pick anybody else, you might as well pick Batman.
Yeah.
But he got called away from a bat signal. He'd probably be depressed. Screw Christmas. I could see Batman hitting the whiskey all night, like, forget Christmas. My parents got killed, blah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, with that being said, I don't know who to pick for Christmas, honestly. You know? So, I'm going to pick the person I'm picking for New Year's. He would be, I would decide the superhero from the Wildstorm universe. He was a member of the Wildcats. Voodoo. Okay? Voodoo was a stripper in the comics. So I figure if she comes hang out with me at Christmas, all the way to New Year's Eve, bound to get lucky.
That's true.
Yeah. See? Told y'all. Y'all would be surprised by that pick. Now you are mind blown.
Mind blown.
Who would you want to spend the holidays with? Fictional characters. I went with all comic characters. They can be fictional anyone in the world that's made up.
Well, I was thinking, I was actually trying to go like... Like, whenever you said go along with the holidays, I was like, maybe I should reinvent my list. And I was like, I think I want to follow the same aspect. I was like, so you have Thanksgiving. And I thought about maybe like Green Arrow because you get a fresh turkey. Just be like, hey, I want that 15 pounder over there. Blink.
15? That's it? 15?
You know, 15?
15 is a pretty good size turkey.
That's a good size turkey,
really,
man.
15?
Yeah.
How many people plan on feeding?
I mean, 15's
a good size turkey.
20 people.
Well, yeah, go with the 20-pound one, man. It's Green Arrow, man. It's not like it's going to be hard for me to get the 20-pounder.
True.
It's probably even slower. It's a little fatty.
A little fat.
Yeah, a little fat turkey. And then, not going to run away. He's going to be like, gobble, gobble.
Compared to the 15-pound. Yeah. Away.
Panting on the...
And then for Christmas, I'd have to go with Lion-O, Lord of the Thundercats, so I can find out what I'm getting for Christmas, because you can use the Eye of Thundera.
Give me sight beyond sight.
You know, that... That always, no?
Well, that's just selfish of you. Use it for your own to know what you're getting for
or
Christmas.
Or we can watch Chitara use the bathroom.
Now that's just getting into furry territory.
I was going to go with her as one of my fictional characters Chitara. For Christmas. Yeah. Because the whole furry thing.
And then for Christmas Eve... Well, I'd say Rogue because she's a cool chick, but I mean, you can't get close. You know, she wears the pants, man.
Well, see, and initially I thought about inviting Psylocke over for Christmas and Voodoo for New Year's and convincing Psylocke to stay all week and make a sandwich.
Sandwich.
Yeah, that was my first thought, actually, was Psylocke.
Geek sandwich.
So Rogue, but you can't do anything.
No, but it'd she's got kinda... an if it's like the comic book road, I might be cool with the accent, kind of like a phone line operator of that sorts. You know, she always says sugar.
Frank.
Okay.
Who do you want to spend the holidays with? Fictional characters.
Fictional character. First, I would have to get, like, to be buddies with him. Or could I really be sure that I'm even buddies with him? Kilgrave? Yes.
He will turn on you, man.
That's why I said, I don't know if I could really be friends with him or if I've just suggested that I'm being friends with him.
I'm shocked. This is a shocking pick come in.
Okay. Then after that, you know, just a bunch of fine hotties from the same universe.
Jessica Jones?
You know, you got Kilgrave as your buddy. You pretty much, it's party time after that.
Jessica Jones will kill you, dude.
Only
Cage can handle her.
Oh, it's true, man.
But, you know, let's, like, remove her from the picture. I'm talking about the ladies, you know, that can't resist my buddy Kilgrave.
Ah,
you know.
So all three of us basically pick characters for the holidays we'd like to spend with, and at the end of the year when it hits New Year's, we're just trying to score.
Pretty much, yeah. Let's be honest. We're just like, oh.
Let's hope our
two
wives
dirty
don't
old bastards and went almost there.
Our wives don't hear this episode. Okay, I don't know if that turned out how I planned, but you know that was our little Christmas holiday special.
Yeah,
you know, and we were texting about the show. You know, we were talked about, like, Christmas movies, but it's so cliche. Everyone always picks National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Jingle All the Way, It's a Wonderful Life.
White Christmas is my favorite, you know. So.
Krampus, Black Christmas.
Speaking about Krampus, I watched that the other day.
Krampus?
Krampus.
Yep.
thought it was pronounced Krampus.
Well, however you want to pronounce it.
Krampus.
One thing I've learned from that movie and another movie that's on Netflix, stay away from Germans around Christmas, because that's German folklore. And whenever you're around Germans, that's when that bastard shows up and kills people.
Are you talking about Die Hard?
I now apologize to any German person listening to the Rebel Radio podcast. Thanks, Frank.
Yes.
You know.
Frank does love the schnitzel. Please don't be misguided.
So as Christmas approaches, that means the end of the year is coming. We have Star Wars Rogue One coming, which we will... We're hoping that we'll get together to talk about that on Rebel Radio for y'all. But if we don't, we definitely will have at least one more show by the end of the year, and it will feature our 2016 Jedi Awards. And our Jedi Awards, of course, are end of the year, Christmas, New Year special, where we give out fake awards to our favorite films and things like that. And I started it just for fun, and we've continued it because we kind of enjoy it, and and now I have you guys to help me kind of come up with the awards and who we think should win. And we do best movie. We have most anticipated film for the next year. We have a Jedi Master Tribute Award, which we give to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We have best television show, best animated television show, best comic book movie, best movie poster, best Blu-ray of the year. And we will have to figure out who these winners are for 2016.
Can I add one to it for consideration? Best opening credits.
Best opening credits.
You know, nowadays movies always have like this little action thing and it everything is changing that goes on up. With like the credits of the beginning, of, you know, the main stars of it. Because I already know who my number one contender for this is. So we can write down a few others.
Talking about barbed wire?
I don't know. Like, that's like a technical award. It's like, I don't know.
I don't know if it's different. It's different. I will give you that. But it is different.
Well, we'll talk.
Like I said, consideration.
But so the Jedi Awards are coming, and so for movie of the year, there's going to be a lot of nominations in our genre of films we've covered. I mean, we had Captain America: Civil War. We have Star Wars coming out. We've had Fantastic Beasts in theaters now. We had what am I missing that came out this summer amongst comic book films? We had Deadpool earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of films that could be in consideration for movie of the year. We don't know who will win it.
Oh, but I can tell you, our listeners are probably going to think, well, they're a Star Wars based show, so they're just going to give it to Rogue One.
No, it might not be.
Because we haven't seen it.
If Rogue One is a Force Awakens caliber of movie, which I don't think so. I just don't think it has the character lineup to be that potential, unless we get some awesome performance out of Darth Vader. And the surrounding cast.
Darth Vader. There's not a lot acting in that.
You know what Vader is? Vader is German for father. Okay, so quit messing with me when I say German stuff, Frank. You're in your hate for Germans on the show.
Schnitzel.
All right, just sit down.
No, you're right. you're right. It all plays well. We did give our movie of the year last year to Force Awakens, but arguably, we enjoyed it the most last year. You know, it was hard.
Yeah.
I considered it Mad Max last year, and I didn't go against the norm and not give it to Mad Max just because we were so high on Force Awakens at the moment. We really enjoyed it, and I felt it was the movie I walked out of the theater the most satisfied with, even though I enjoyed Mad Max last year.
And
and that was really a tough award to give last year. It could have gone either way. I could have gone Mad Max. I could have gone...
Especially with what it
Star
came
Wars.
Away with at the Grammys.
Yeah, I could have gone Star with the Grammys.
Oscars.
This isn't a movie fucking awards. Music podcast, motherfucker.
What the heck what are we talking about? You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Well, why don't we just give them some Tonys while we're at it?
This year...
Pizzas?
This year, there's not a clear-cut winner because last year, I knew when we were doing the awards, it was Mad Max or Star Wars. It was... Which one do we pick? And we talked, we kind of all agreed, let's just do Star Wars. This year, I don't have one standing above the rest. Like, when I'm waiting for... Last year, I knew it was Mad Max, and I was waiting for Force Awakens to hit theaters. This year, I don't have a movie that I think should be movie of the year while I'm waiting for Rogue One. You know? Does that make sense? So it's like, yeah, what's it going to be? We'll see. You know? Television of the year, there's been a lot of... Let's talk about some nominations for that. Stranger Things was well-received.
Oh, yeah.
Daredevil Season 2 was well-received. The Walking Dead continues to be high in the ratings, and people like where it's going with the story. Luke Cage has been out there. Game of Thrones is still highly successful, even though I've gotten behind on it. So a lot of possible television show nominations for that.
I really
any
like
shows
the Flash.
I'm not thinking. I I like The Flash, and I considered it last year, but The Flash, as enjoyable as it is it of caliber of your AMC, your FX, your HBO shows, your Netflix shows? Not quite.
Let's see how this Invasion series plays out.
But it's still not... I'm talking the high-quality story writing of those shows, and okay. Flash is still underneath those. The problem with the CW shows is they still fall prey to, oh, Iris, I love you, or, oh, Oliver Queen, I love you, to keep the female viewers, and with really bad dialogue, really cheesy scenes. But then they have these really great comic book moments that are like, oh, that's really cool, Barry went back in time, or that's really cool, Green Arrow defeated that guy. And that's where the CW shows suffer from, is the really bad writing isn't good enough to be better than the comic moments. And so as much as I enjoy The Flash, it's nowhere near the quality that Daredevil is, Stranger Things, Game of Thrones. And they're just on a different plane. And I would love a world where we have a great Flash TV show and it could win the television series of the year on any awards, whether it's our fake awards or the Emmys or any award show. But it's the CW, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Into the Badlands was a really great series from earlier this year. And that could even be, you know, that was last year. It's been long. I know season 2 is finally coming. You know, that was a show that could be considered.
I heard Westworld is actually pretty good.
I've heard that's really good, too, but I don't have HBO, so.
I have a Kodi Fire Stick, which I do not admit to any illegal activity or pirating of any stream or open source material on the show.
And to give a brief ending preview of our Jedi Awards that we'll be doing here in a few weeks, next year, we had just talked earlier in the show about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer and how big that it's going to be. Anticipated movie next year. I mean,
big time.
Look at the list. Wolverine. Alien Covenant. Logan. Alien
Covenant, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Spider-Man Homecoming. Thor Ragnarok. Star Wars Episode 8. I'm sure there's things I'm leaving off. It's huge. Wonder Woman. Justice League.
Yeah. Oh, and then, how many movies that are just going to be surprised, that aren't even on the radar, that are going to be surprised.
This is the hardest category.
Is Black Panther next year?
No, it's early 2018.
Oh, okay.
This is the hardest category to come up with our nominations. And if people are listening, drop comments on when we post this on our Facebook of what you think should be some nominations or most anticipated for 2017. And again, people are going to think, oh, they're trustmeandjedi.com. They're going to go with Star Wars. And as much as we're anticipating Episode 8, I didn't go with Star Wars last year. I went with Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
And some of that was the hype last December when we were getting ready for the awards. Everyone was waiting for Batman vs. Superman. And it didn't turn out the way people wanted it to, but it felt like it was the most anticipated movie of the year.
Yeah.
Because at that time, Rogue One didn't have the hype train going.
No.
Because everyone was watching The Force Awakens in theaters, you know.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. But now that we've seen The Force Awakens, we know what the hype train for Episode 8 is going to be. It's going to be through the roof. You know, there's going to be toys, commercials, things everywhere as people get ready for it.
I hope we get that teaser in front.
I'm hearing that we're not, because Disney doesn't want to take away from Rogue One, which makes sense. You want people to go to the theater to see the new Star Wars film. You don't want to advertise something that people already know is coming in front of it because it takes away from it. There's rumor is that maybe a week later at Christmas, they'll hold the trailer for a week. That way everyone can see Rogue One without any Episode 8 stuff. There's also a lot of rumor that they're going to hold it till, like, I read somewhere, or some sort of convention or something, like in February or March. I don't think they're going to wait. No, not a convention. I don't know why. I've heard rumors that they may be the Super Bowl.
Really?
But at the same time, why would Disney spend $3 million to advertise on the Super Bowl when it's Star Wars? You don't need to.
Yeah.
You know,
how many movies are you going to get people are going to see that are Disney related films before then?
I think more than likely Disney will just do like they've done with other trailers, is they'll either announce it's going to be during an ABC special or a Disney special, and they'll air their trailer that night. You know, if I don't know what channel has the national championship game for college football this year, but I've heard rumors of that. I think the game is January 7th or 8th. Why not air the trailer during the National College Football Championship? You know, you get a huge wide TV audience and no reason to put it out in theaters at Christmas, you know. But I do think it's coming in the next month or two, you know. But rumor is it's not going to be in front of Rogue One. And before we go, in case we don't, because we probably won't have another show till after Rogue One is out, what do y'all think about Rogue One not having a crawl?
It's going to throw me off.
We didn't talk about this in Remnants of the Rebellion, but
no, because I look at it like this. Episode, to me, for right now, episode 1 through 7 is the Skywalker trilogy.
Saga.
Saga.
More than a trilogy.
Well, the saga is the Skywalker saga. So it's just the Star Wars, plain Star Wars, not a side story, is the Skywalker storyline. And hopefully that's what they'll continue with number 8 and number 9 is sticking with the Skywalker family. You know, well, and that scroll
of
thing.
Of course, they're going to stick with it.
Well, what I'm just saying is, not add like other elements into it that veer off from the Skywalker storyline, other than just the next generation just being Kyle. But what I'm saying is, keep it the scrolling thing for the Skywalker storyline, and do something new for the side stories. Keep them separate from the Skywalker.
Well, they are, as far as stories, but that had nothing to do with why there was no crawl.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Make that part just but unique to the Skywalker storyline of Star Wars movies.
But see, I think not having a crawl doesn't keep it from being unique. It keeps from being unique because it's a different story. I think the crawl is part of what Star Wars is. You go to the movie theater, and it used to be the 20th Century Fox logo. Now it's a brief Lucasfilm logo. Mm-hmm. You get a long time ago, and stop clicking the beer bottle.
I'm sorry, it's my ring.
Damn it.
We're fingering the beer bottle with your ring
Matt's
finger.
Matt's fingering a beer bottle while we're recording.
Beer bottles and, need love, too.
It's part of the experience of going to theaters. The fanfare comes on, it says Star Wars, and then the crawl opens
floating
up.
Floating paragraphs
and it's weird
space.
To not
so,
have it.
Okay, so are we even going to get the Star Wars music?
No, I've heard it's just like a...
It just starts?
Yeah. And that's what's weird about it. It's like, you can have a crawl without it being an episode. It can be a shorter crawl if it has to be like... Star Wars Rogue One, in a time of Imperial control, a band of rebels is formed together to try to stop the Empire and do something like that.
Yeah.
And with the help of Bail Organa and his resources, you know, and then lead it off. And it's just, to me, it's weird because that's what Star Wars is. And people are like, oh, the Clone Wars movies, the Ewok movies didn't have crawls. That's completely different. Clone Wars was done by Warner Brothers, and it wasn't really a film that's in continuity, even though it's part of canon.
Yeah.
And the Ewok movies don't even freaking count. They only aired in theaters in Europe, and they aired on television here. You know, and to me, I just think it's part of the Star Wars experience. It's like going to see Star Trek and not having the Star Trek music at the beginning of the film, or James Bond. Could you imagine going to see a James Bond film and not having the classic opening credits?
Bond
they
is Bond. It's that's different.
How is it different? It's still a saga that you expect to have those opening
but,
things.
Like I said, one is the Skywalker saga, and the other one's just side stories of the Star Wars universe.
We have established that, but it could still have a crawl in front of it. There's no reason. To me, there's no reason to not have a crawl. It just seems like they're going out of their way to say, hey, this is a standalone film. People already know it's a standalone film. And I think people are going to be... From things I've read on the internet, people are more disappointed there's no crawl than people think there shouldn't be one. A lot of people are like, there's no reason not to have a crawl. That's part of the Star Wars experience. Because, I mean, think about when you went and saw the prequels or episode 7 and that crawl starts, everyone claps and cheers.
Yep.
It's part, I mean, it's like, it's the most iconic opening of any film ever.
But, you know, the whole crawl thing without the whole playing of the 20th Century Fox music and then the flashing of the... Without that music before the Star Wars music, it doesn't seem right. I'm sorry, whenever I put in my DVDs and the 20th Century Fox logo and its music and all that appears, that gets me hyped for when the Star Wars music kicks in. Now going to see the movies without that part just kind of feels like something's lost.
Well, I mean,
so losing the scroll, just one more thing.
That's such a small 10-second thing, though. It didn't bother me when Force Awakens didn't have the 20th Century Fox logo.
Yeah.
You know, so you're just the fuddy-duddy in the group, Frank.
Fuddy-duddy.
There should be a crawl in front of Rogue One.
Okay, Mark, we'll kick you down on the floor and make you crawl across the front of the theater.
Star Wars
get
crawl.
Your ass up, yes. They'd be like, hey, everybody, you got your crawl.
So
Mark would just lay there going, they sound like Chewbacca.
So episode 61 of the Rebel Radio, I think, is coming to a close because we don't have a crawl out of here, okay? We just have the show. But, again, tribute to Rocky, 40 years of a franchise, really awesome. Tell us what you got for Christmas that you remember growing up and what you didn't get. And who would you spend Christmas with in the holidays? You could spend Christmas with any fictional character. Apparently, all three of us are perverts. You just want to spend it with a hot chick and get laid.
Yeah, but you know, we didn't discuss what we were looking forward to getting this year.
I'm not looking forward to getting anything.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah, so I don't care.
Matt, you?
I want some awesome coffee.
Really?
Yeah. I'm getting older
like
now.
Like what?
Like, I like Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Really?
Coffee. Like caffeinated as F.
Really? Say, is that just a natural brew, or do you put it in one of those single serves?
They do have Keurig cups. Really? I have the regular bag at home, but they just came out with the Keurig cups. Mm.
Have you ever thought about the coffee that's made out of bat poop?
I've heard of I know it's some kind of animal poop.
It's bat poop.
It is bat poop. Yeah.
Yeah, because they eat the coffee grounds and then they
eat
the
coffee. It's a Jamaican coffee.
So
right?
Really, we're gonna end Rebel Radio about bat poop.
Bat
seriously.
Poop.
Yeah.
Bat poop.
And now everyone's just turning off the podcast here as we just ramble.
Well, that's good. They were gonna turn it off here in a second. So.
So yeah, let us know what you got for Christmas over the years that you remember, and let us know what you didn't get or what you. You know, who you want to spend holidays with. And maybe you're as perverted as us and just want to spend it with Rogue or Voodoo or Kilgrave getting Frank hot chicks. I mean, that's the weird
Mystique.
That's the real problem.
Because Mystique could Frank be anybody.
Frank would talk Kilgrave to death himself and, you know.
But he could just tell me to shut up and I would have to.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's true.
But so, Mystique. I think I would like to spend it with Mystique because then she could be anybody I wanted.
That's even weirder. Go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all those good things. I know I mentioned last episode we were working on starting a Patreon page. I've delayed that to after the first of the year. So that's still coming. So you can be able to donate to the show. We're coming up with some ideas for some rewards to send you. So if you donate $5 or $10, we can send you something cool in the mail. And so that's coming, but not till after the first of the year. Plus, everybody's spending money on Christmas right now. We don't want to ask you to donate to the podcast.
Absolutely.
And, give us money when you're thinking about your kids.
So, thank you for listening, as always. This has been the Rebel Radio Podcast. Check out Remnants of the Rebellion, our new Star Wars show. It's on the same feed. So if you're already subscribed to this through iTunes or Stitcher or Podbean, you're going to get it in your subscription feed. So you don't have to do anything. You can just say, oh, look, there's another podcast to listen to. And please share it and tell your friends about us. And that's all I got. This has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
This has been Mark. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is you celebrate, or Happy Satan Day if you're into that, whatever. Bye.
Bye.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston, I love podcasting, but what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Walker Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. ¶¶